Also, I want to make it very clear that we will not leave here from here saying, well, I have gone through Romans 7, I am not going to go through it again. Because we keep telling young people this and young people that. The facts remain. Every time you're going to put yourself under the law, you're going to struggle, you're going to find out the same thing again, that you can't do it, that in you, that in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now, the severity of it might not be as bad because you already know what's going on. The first time you experience that, you really don't know. If you are honest and sincere, you're really struggling and you don't know what's going on. You're trying very hard and you can't get it until your eyes are open and you take your eyes off yourself to the Lord. And then you are having the victory. But you might have Romans 7 over and over and over again. And every time you go and you put back yourself under the law and you try to do good and you put rules and regulation, you're going to cry the same cry. It might not be again as the length of time or the severity as the first time, but the Word of God stands true. You are no good no matter what. And just, you know, accept it. Live with it. Just deal with it. That's just the way it is. You are no good and accept it. And every time you think that now you're a Christian, you read the Bible through and you have gone through Romans 7 and you know all of these illustrations. But trust me, you go back again and put yourself under the law, you're going to do the same thing. Because the flesh is the flesh is the flesh. And as the Lord Jesus said, the flesh is the prophet.
In verse 1, it's a statement. It's a fundamental statement, a fact. Mm-hmm. We've been saying facts all along. It's not me going, dear brother, do you not know that there is no condemnation for you? At the end of chapter 7, we're condemning ourselves. We're abhorring ourselves, as we talked earlier, and Job abhorred himself. And we're condemning ourselves. And if it was all based on our feelings, as Emil said earlier, we wouldn't let ourselves into heaven. Mm-hmm. It's a good, in a way, a good place to be. We don't deserve it. But here, he's not saying, I want you to understand, dear brother, that there's no condemnation for you. He's saying a blatant fact. It's a wide open statement. There is no condemnation. Whether you feel it or not, this is the facts. That's your position.
Christianity is not by feeling. It is based on facts from the Word of God. And that settles it. God said it. Mm-hmm. And it will be done.
Not number it's found. If we believe not, if we are unfaithful, he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And a reference here, you made a statement, Brother John, about in Christ Jesus, and I would just read the first verse of the Epistle to the Ephesians, where we simply read, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Don't look to yourself for the strength. As we have had, there is no strength. But he abideth faithful.
The ministry of the Holy Spirit is a very important ministry that is abused in Christendom. The Lord Jesus said, I will send another comforter. He will abide with you forever, literally for the age. And this is the age of the Spirit. This is the age of grace. But we also realize that the Lord Jesus Christ said that he will not speak of himself or from himself. He will take the things of mine and he will show them unto you. And so the ministry of the Holy Spirit, although it is abused in many places, nevertheless, if properly understood, we understand that the Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead. I didn't say the third person, because in the New Testament we don't see one, two, three. We don't see first person of the Godhead, second person, third person. No, all persons of the Godhead are alike, co-equal, co-essential. That is of the same substance, if we can speak of substance. Old theological debate, going back to the 4th century. What is God composed of? John 4:24, God is a spirit. Or God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we leave it there. God is spirit. God is spiritual. And so the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son, all three persons are of the same substance. All three persons are eternally co-equal. And we find that this person of the Godhead is the Holy Spirit. And it is mentioned, or he is mentioned, 19 times here in Romans chapter 8. Imagine that. Yes, brother, it is mentioned in, he's mentioned in John, I mean in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. But 19 times in Romans 8. That is significant. That after 7 chapters in which the Holy Spirit is only mentioned once, he's mentioned here 19 times. He's underscoring the importance of the Holy Spirit. And in the New Testament, we're told, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Is that Ephesians 5? Whereby you're sealed unto the day of salvation.
Redemption. So if I may ask the question, are we saying that in verse 2 the Spirit of life is the Spirit of God?
I believe so. And so what we have here is the introduction of the importance of the ministry of the Spirit of God. Because if you go down the chapter, it gives the context which seems to suggest that. Look at chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in flesh, but in spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so you can count down if you wish, and you'll see about 19 times Spirit, Holy Spirit, Spirit of Christ, different aspects, if you please, of this great truth. But we need to realize we need the Holy Spirit. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And he says in Ephesians 5, grieve not the Spirit. And that would give us the personality of the Holy Spirit. Because a person can be grieved. Someone dies, there's pain felt. And that would suggest to us that the Holy Spirit is a divine person. Not a thing, not an emanation, not a force,
right.
Although the Holy Spirit is powerful because he's God. But the Holy Spirit is a divine person who can feel pain. When we sin, he is pain. And then, I believe in Thessalonians, we have this, quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. So grieving the Spirit means that we would do something that would cause him pain. Quench the Spirit, when you think of a campfire, children, and you are going to douse the campfire, you pour water on the campfire to put out the fire. That's why it's linked with despise not prophesying. Someone comes along, and they're so exuberant about someone being saved, and someone says, well, I don't care about that. That's quenching the Spirit in somebody else. But grieving the Spirit has the idea of doing something that is within myself. Grieve the Spirit. Quench the Spirit has usually the connection with somebody else. In any event, we should be very careful how we treat the Holy Spirit of God. We need him. We need his ministry. We need his filling. We need his power. We need his teaching. Because the Lord Jesus, did he not say, when he is come, second person, masculine in the singular, when he is come, he will lead you into all truth. He will not speak of himself. He will take the things that I have of mine and show them unto you. So we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit in order to achieve this goal of pleasing the Lord, of living the Christian life, not in the power of the flesh, but in the power of God.